Joe Gibbs has joined us, and we're talking about his book, Racing to Win. Joe, a lot of people will be listening to you and hear about this book, and they'll think, well, yeah, but Joe Gibbs is a professional. He's been a coach and everything else. Is this something that can help the average person day in and day out?
I definitely think it can, Ron. And what we talk about in the book is, you know, my struggles, like I said, in occupation. So almost all of us are going to have an occupational struggle. I think financially, almost all of us, for some people, it may be over $10,000. For other people, it might be over $1 million. I think we're all going to have to either become successful if we're going to be happy in life in our relationships, and that's what's in the book. And then team building has always been a big part of my life. And I'm talking about team building in family, in business, in football, in motorsports. And what I've kind of found in there's some basic principles at work in all those areas. I got about 11 keystone principles there that I think are very important. And then, of course, you know, I think moral choices can lead us right down the tubes. We've seen a lot of people that are successful in some areas and fail and make a bad moral choice, and you could have a real problem. But then, of course, you know, in my case, I really pushed myself so hard in football. And, of course, as you know, it's documented. Sometimes I didn't sleep 3 or 4 hours a night, and I tried to work out hard still, and I ate the wrong things. And next thing you know, I'm diabetic and had a lot of problems. So that's kind of detailed in the book, too. So, but I think this book can help somebody that is struggling in almost any of those areas. And I think there's a little game plan there, and anybody can follow this to success. That's what I'm saying. You look at me, hey, I'm a physical education major. I majored in recreational dancing and handball. So I'm not the most intellectual guy in the world. This is on-the-job training. This is somebody that's been working with sports teams, that's been out there in the field, that started his own business when I got out of football. And so I think this is really about the average person.
Is it hard for you, given the way you live your life, the principles and the philosophies that you have, to accept people that are different than you are? Because I think we all want to have people that believe the same thing we do, work in a manner in which we'll be comfortable with.
I think that one of the keys to being a good manager, coach, and I look at both those positions, almost anybody that has people working underneath them, and that's almost all of us. At some point, we're either going to be directing teams, or you're a part of a team for sure. I think that the same principles kind of work in all those areas. And for me, my life's been all about that team building. It's been recruiting people, putting people on a team, and trying to get them to accomplish a common goal. And in doing that, the reason why it's so hard, it goes against human nature. Human nature says, hey, it's me. I'm self-centered. That's the way we come into the world. And when you're on a team, it's a different concept. You got to say, hey, look, I'm willing to sacrifice for the team, the betterment of the team. Now, that's hard, but I think the principles are there. And it's funny, for me, I had all different kinds of characters. I had everybody from John Riggins, who was very much an individual. I had Gary Clark, who drove me crazy 6 days a week. I told Gary one time, I says, I hate you 6 days, and I love you on Sunday. I mean, I had a complete cross-section of people, and I think if you're going to be a good manager or a good coach – or a good businessman, you've got to have a natural instinct, I think, is one of the things you got to have on what it takes and motivates each person. Some people you got to get on a little bit. Some people all you got to do is give them a little sugar. But there are some common principles also that applies to a team, and so that's kind of what's detailed in the book and the reason why I think the book's important. A big part of it's team building.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've talked with Bill Walsh about the fact that the greatest asset a team can have or a business can have are the people that work for it. And I think sometimes what happens with owners and managers is that they don't understand that they have to find the right buttons to push on the people to get them to do what is collectively good for the team.
Yeah, you can't buy that either. You know,
no.
you can be an owner and want to buy a championship in professional sports, and I don't believe you can do that. I think you got to capture. I think the Patriots are a good example. There's a team that probably wasn't the most talented, but what they seemed to capture was that good team feeling. You know, guys were sacrificing for the betterment of the team, and they kind of molded themselves together, and they probably beat some teams that were a lot more talented. So I think there's some common principles there, though, that you really need to understand about people. And I've been kind of amazed that sometimes when I go and talk to a business, everything from picking people to disciplining people to rewards to teaching principles, it's amazing to me that they're interested in the very same thing I am, and lots of times they can be kind of misled. And so I think it's kind of, I think you can learn from other people who are good team builders. And that's kind of been my life. And so that's kind of what I share in the book.
One of the things, you told a story one time that I think is very apropos, and I wonder if you'll repeat it for me, is about the time that you found that the coffee for the coffee maker was missing.
Actually, what happened, the reason why I say to people, it's funny, I've been fortunate to be in two major sports. Well, very few people get to do that. But I tell everybody, I illustrate, I said, everything that happened to me in football has happened to me again in racing because it's a people business. And in football, I used to sleep at the office, so I go in one morning and I'm looking around, you know, and I'm a big coffee guy, and I'm looking, and I said, hey, where's the coffee? Those little coffee packets, and the secretary said, you're not going to believe this. He said, somebody stole the coffee. I said, this is ridiculous. And so about 2 weeks later, we catch one of the players going out the back door with a coffee. This guy makes $600,000 a year. I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, nobody's going to miss this. I said, put it back. I miss it. So fast forward, I go into motorsports. I walk in one, I don't sleep in the office, but I walk in there one day and I'm kind of looking around. I'm going, where's the coffee? The secretary walked in and she goes, you're not going to believe this. And I said, yes, I will. Somebody stole the coffee. So the principles in team building and people, anytime you get money and careers and teams together, you got a potential for a nightmare, so you better be good at working with people.
Is the managing of people probably the most interesting dynamic of putting anything together then, Joe?
I think people are the most interesting thing in life.
I agree.
They're the hardest thing in the world, Ron. You know, it's funny, the scouts want to come to you and they say, well, they want to tell you exactly how high a guy can jump. They want to tell you just how fast he can run. And they want to tell you exactly how much he weighs because you can measure all that. And then you get down to what really makes a good football player. You can't measure it, weigh it. It's his heart.
Yep.
And so now you're going to character. Now you're trying to figure out what kind of character is. And that's why we make so many mistakes in business, in drafts, in picking players. It's very, very hard to pick people.
I have to tell you that I hire everybody in this company without resumes. I don't want to see them. And one of the top show producers that I've had over the years is a young kid who was my waiter at a restaurant in Atlanta in the Super Bowl 6 years ago. Now, let me tell you why I hired him, Joe. And that is the fact, he says, I listen to the show all the time. Can I come down and watch your show when you're doing it in Atlanta? I said, sure, fine. So he comes down, and he says to me, I'll do anything. I'll get drinks for your guests. I'll do anything. I said, well, if you happen to see a guest that would be a good, you know, good person that would be a guest, bring him over to our position. Well, he walked onto the set of ESPN SportsCenter when it was over with and said to Joe Theismann, Joe, Ron Barr would like to interview you. Please follow me. I figured that if his kid would do that, I want him on my team. You know what I mean,
yeah,
Joe?
Absolutely. And you know what? You know, it was amazing, Ron, on our football teams that went to the Super Bowls, half of our team were free agents.
Oh, interesting.
Think about that.
Yeah.
One half of our team. That means other people either didn't want them and cut them, or we got them without drafting them. But they fit perfectly on our team. They were dedicated people. And many times people say to me, well, who's some of the greatest players you coach? And I start off with Otis Wansley, Greg Williams, Pete Cronin, and they go, who are they? And I said, they were great special teams players that added so much to the team, and I'd be willing to say your team there that you manage and the people you've picked, some of them may not be even the most talented guys, but what they are people that care about the show and people that care about what they're doing. They come early. They stay late.
Yep.
They add a lot to the team. Just like you said, hey, they're not there for the money. They're there to try and be the absolute best they can be.
Yeah, and whatever it takes to get that done is important. Let me share with you something about a perspective on you from somebody else that you know very well, one of your drivers, Tony Stewart. Tony was with me, Joe, and I asked him about you, and here's what he told me.
He's pretty even keel. You know, I think Joe's been in professional sports long enough that, you know, he knows you're going to win some. He knows you're going to lose some, and you got to take the good with the bad. And Joe always is really good about saying, well, if we didn't win, why didn't we win, and what can we do to try to make ourselves better in that case the next time. So, you know, that's the great thing about Joe. I mean, he's not a car owner that says, well, I don't understand why you guys didn't win today. You know, he says, well, is there anything I can do to help out to where when we get in that situation, we can be better the next time. And you know, he turns a negative into a positive every time for us. So that's what we need with a car owner. And there were races that I struggled, and, you know, there were days that on race morning I felt like that if we could be on the lead, that if we were still on the lead lap at the halfway point, we were going to have a really good day, and I felt like we probably would be a lap down by the halfway point. Well, you know, Joe can come in, and in 10 minutes, you know, a 10-minute talk with Joe, and you feel like you're going to lap the field halfway through the race. So you see a lot of similarities between his coaching in the NFL and the way he approaches his Winston Cup program. So, you know, I think that's just his outlook on life, too. So he's able to take negatives and turn them into positives, and that's what makes him so special.
One of the things that I found interesting about what he had to say, Joe, was about you being even-keeled, because he is a very emotional athlete, young man, and I think your even-keeledness is what keeps him focused.
Well, I'd say, first of all, just a quick story. When I was trying to get Tony Stewart, it was so much like football, I had to buy out a contract, crisscross the country, chase him down, get him to agree to a contract. And this was just like football. And when we finally got Tony signed, here's what he said to me. He said, "Look, Joe, I'm not ready for Winston Cup." He said, "I could have made $1 million last year racing Winston Cup. I'm not ready for Winston Cup. I want to race Busch again. I don't want to get out there and make a mistake in front of those guys and ruin my career." This guy passed up money, huge sums of money, to really get prepared to race these cars. Now, I'll tell you this. This guy is probably one of the most talented people that's ever driven a race car. And he is emotional now. He reminds me so much of a Gary Clark or somebody like that in football, where he is just, you know, sometimes you go, "Holy mackerel, Tony." We get into it back and forth. But the one thing about Tony, he has got a great heart, and that man wants to win every single week. And I think he's made great strides as far as maturing, growing up, and I think you're looking at one of the stars that could probably win. I get excited. Every time we go to the racetrack, I think he may win every race.
Yeah, and you have to feel that way. We only have 1 minute left, but as we get ready to wrap it up here, I want to, you know, I know defensive end Charles Mann said something to you after the last Super Bowl victory that I think applies whether it's to football, racing, or maybe life in general. He said to you, "You know, the fun part was getting here."
We walked out on the field at Minnesota. I didn't realize it was going to be my last Super Bowl win. And I walked out there with him, and we're kind of standing there for a minute. And he goes, "You know," he said, "the real fun part was getting here. It's not that point after you won a Super Bowl." Most people would say, "Well, hey, that's got to be one of the greatest thrills in life." It was all those practices, all those laughs, all those sorrows, all those heartbreaks, the fight and the clawing, the blood, the practice, and all those things. It's the struggle of getting there is what he was saying was really rewarding, and I agree with him.
We're going to make this a selection on our Book Corner, Sports Book Corner, on our website, Joe. And, you know, I've been trying to get you on for about the last year and a half or 2 years. Will you please come back and visit with me again where we can talk about some other things?
I promise you, Ron, when you call me, I'll be there.
All right, thank you very much. Congratulations on the book, and very, very wonderful stories in here. Thank you very much, Joe, for your time.
Thanks, Ron, for having me on.
Outstanding coach. Also, the name of this book is called Racing to Win, Establish Your Game Plan for Success, and it's something that you can apply across the board no matter what. We'll take a break as we continue across the country and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network and the Internet. We're talking to you on Sports Byline.